Guys, welcome to High Life, our first ever video podcast. We'll see how this goes.
Hopefully y'all can see my lovely
backdrop here.
Sure, we got the same one at smoke shops. Yeah, they're literally all over the walls.
Dude, I went through so many names just to get to High Life podcast.
Yeah.
My aunt and I tossed around some ideas. I would Google it because I wanted a name that was different, but not like off the wall.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, what about High Life? But life is spelled L-Y-F-E.
Right.
It worked. And I Googled it, and I was the only, there was no other podcast that was High Life at the time. Now, if you Google it, there's like three or four of them. And I'm like, you copycats. Yeah.
Nah, bro, I got it first.
That's right. I'm listed on Google. I'm listed everywhere.
We did the same with the smoke shops. When we first opened, we were going through, we were looking for names. We finally settled on High Life and went in and Googled, and there was a bunch of High Lifes, but none of them were trademarked. None of them had a good logo, none of that stuff. So we went. We did it. We trademarked. We did all that shit, or copyrighted, or whatever.
Yeah.
So it works.
All right. So, guys, I am talking with. I completely forgot what your username on TikTok was.
The richest car dealer.
The richest car dealer. Oh yeah, it's right there. The richest car dealer, guys. I've enjoyed his videos so much. They crack me up. He deals with some real antics at a car dealership.
Yeah.
He also informs you guys, like, I know a bunch of you out there, you're wondering, like, why are car prices so high? Why are these used cars selling for the same price as what new cars used to sell for?
Right.
I've seen his videos of the car auctions. Starting prices are astronomical.
They're insane.
Like the first time you made a video, that like I guess it was a truck or something had just rolled into camera view, and starting price was $8,000, and you were like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, that shit's crazy. I still remember when that shit started, when the prices started getting like that, and none of us knew really what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
And I mean, we thought, all right, it's a phase, COVID, blah, 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 it's going to pass. Right. And then they got higher. And we were like, all right, we need to kind of start adjusting if this is going to last a while. So we adjusted. We went out, I figured out what the fuck was going on and made adjustments as necessary to keep going. A lot of other people aren't as lucky. A lot of other people close because of how bad the prices got, but because of how much inventory we had before the prices went up, you know, we were able to kind of double down and make a shit ton more than we would have normally made. Didn't matter because we had to spend it all anyways.
Yeah, I know someone who was car shopping, and he's like, you know how like used to you roll past the car, you know, even like the new car dealerships, and there would just be cars beyond what you can see.
Yep.
He's like, you drive by now and it's an empty parking lot.
That's how it is everywhere, whether it's new car dealerships, used car dealerships. It's crazy because the new car dealerships are short on inventory because of the chip shortage.
Yeah.
And in turn, the used car dealers are short on inventory because new car dealers won't give up their used inventory. So we're having to outsource and buy cars from places that I would normally not even look at.
Oh, so you don't normally go to the auctions and stuff?
No. So normally we buy at auctions because that's literally the circle of life with cars is you buy it brand new, you drive the hell out of it, you trade it in for a new model, your trade-in goes to auction, sells to a used car dealer. They fix it up if it needs fixing up, detail it, whatever, make it look clean, reliable. They sell it off to whoever else is looking for a used car. And they either end up trading it, driving it into the ground, or selling it. And that's, I mean, that's the life of a car, pretty much. Eventually, it'll go through so many owners and have so many issues at the end, it's not worth fixing. So it either gets blown up and sits in a junkyard, or it gets scrapped.
So what you're saying is happening now is they're not getting sent to auction.
Right.
And that's what's driving the price up.
Exactly. So now, instead of that trade-in at the new car dealership going to auction and a used car dealer grabbing it, it's sitting at the new car dealer's lot, and they are selling it from there. So they pretty much cut out everyone below them.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We survive on...
And they're still charging hella for it.
Yeah, they are. Even though... So the trade-in prices, they went up, but it's still a trade-in. So the people trading in, they're just looking to get into their new car. They don't really care what they get for their old one.
Right.
Like, some people do, but it's the people that do care what they get for their old one, they know what they're doing. Everyone else is just like, yeah, just get me out of this car. I don't want to owe nothing on it if they owe money, and I want a new car.
Makes sense. So you typically talk about driving your Tesla. How is that in this? I'm sure that's nice with all these gas prices.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah, man, I went from paying $100-$150 a week in gas to zero, like practically overnight, which is amazing.
Do you have a charging station set up at your dealership?
I do not. I have one set up at my house. I got a level 2 set up at my house, so so it works out. You know, it's just like your phone. You know, you go home, you plug it in right before you go to sleep. You wake up, it's full.
There you go.
Yeah, it works.
That's cool. What do you think about all these other car manufacturers getting into the electronic vehicles?
I think they are late as hell to the party. That's my opinion on it. I also think... I agree when they say electric cars are the future. I don't think Tesla is the future. I think Tesla first to the game. Right. It's kind of like the argument of like Samsung and Apple.
Mm.
Apple made the touchscreen phone mainstream and they refined it, but they weren't the first. Samsung was.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's Samsung was first. They kind of set the line, they figured out the standard, like what people want. And then Apple kind of came in and moseyed it along and made it mainstream. Tesla's the same way. Tesla set the standard, right? They figure out what people want in an electric car, what they would like to see. And then other manufacturers are taking it, refining it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Right now, I'd rather have a Ford Lightning, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I love the Tesla. Don't get me wrong, but, just, you know.
So, with the electronic vehicles, is there any downsides that you've noticed?
Absolutely. So, I've had my Tesla... 6 months. I got it December 4th was the pickup day. The day I picked it up, the range at 100% was 318 miles.
Okay.
In 6 months, my battery has degraded 6%.
Wow.
Yeah, which they say it's because your battery is brand new and you know, it's still kind of pulling out a little bit, but
it's like a cell phone. You know, when you first get your cell phone, you can't kill the damn thing. Right. You know, like,
and then after
you're
about
supposed to take, you're supposed to take it home when you first buy it. Yeah. You're supposed to just drain that battery. And it's on like 10% for like 4 hours. And you're like, just die already. and then eventually it gets to the point where you're like, you wake up to a full charge. And then halfway through your day, you're like, shit, I got to plug my phone in again.
Right. That's the problem with electric vehicles is those batteries, like, yeah, cool. All right, they're made from metals and stuff like that, but they're still chemical. Like, they still chemically age. And the older they get, the worse they get. That's just how it is.
So you think there needs to be a better battery for them?
There is.
Or do you think that...
Okay. It is whatever new battery that Tesla is using now, you can, and you're supposed to, charge it to 100%.
Okay.
The ones from, like, the first Tesla all the way up to the beginning of 2022, the cars they were manufacturing at the beginning of 2022, you're not supposed to charge to 100% unless you are immediately going to discharge it.
Huh.
Yeah. So if you're like on a long road trip or something, yeah, charge to 100%. But if you're driving around in the city, you're supposed to charge to like 85, 90% at the max.
Is it because you would over, it would sit there for too long?
That's what it is. Charge? They don't want you plugging it in at night, it charging to 100 and then sitting there all night with 100% charge. It degrades the battery a little faster. That's the issue electric cars have. And yeah, you save on oil changes. You don't have to replace a motor. You don't have to do pretty much any maintenance to them. But when that battery goes bad, every single penny you've saved over the years of not doing maintenance, not paying for gas, you're going to pay for a battery. You just have a nicer car.
You haven't had to replace your battery yet, but I'm sure you've looked into how much a new battery for that car costs.
It is
$22,000. I'm sorry, what was that again?
$22,000.
That's almost the price, that's like a price of a brand new car.
Pretty well, the price of a brand new car maybe 4 years ago, but yeah.
Yeah. 4 years.
Insane.
Yeah.
their warranty is pretty good. So it's a 10-year, 120,000-mile warranty on that battery.
Okay.
So my plan is to completely fucking obliterate that battery in the next 10 years. Have them replace it when it goes bad. And then immediately sell the car because it's going to have a brand new battery in it with a warranty on that battery. So, you know, I'm not going to end up screwing somebody over.
Okay. But you've also got to keep it under that 100,000 miles.
Yeah, I got to keep it under 120. But I've had it 6 months. The average person puts 15,000 miles on a car a year. And in 6 months, that car has 3,500, 4,000 miles on it. So I haven't really put anything on it.
Okay.
And it's yeah. If it doesn't work out that way, and I end up going over the miles before the battery goes bad or the warranty expires or whatever, I'm going to make some pretty damn good content. I'm going to be the first to go to a demolition derby. Or I'll just set it on fire and watch it burn.
So what made you get into TikTok or download it to begin with? What made you just download it?
COVID happened, actually. COVID happened.
That's a lot of people's answer.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of people's answer. It's because when COVID happened, we were ordered by the mayor of Savannah to close. We did for about a week. So all the employees went off, got unemployment, shit like that. We found out a week later, while everybody else is still closed, that my property is unincorporated county.
Oh.
I don't have to listen to the mayor. I have to listen to the governor. And thank God our governor is a dumbass. I don't even want to get political. He's just stupid. He is late to everything.
Listen, there's a lady I interviewed, or a girl I interviewed. She was a waitress when COVID hit, and her state didn't shut down.
What state was it?
I can't remember. I interviewed her. It was last year that I talked to her, but she said like there was customers calling and being like, "Hey, we tested positive, and we were in there like 2 days ago."
Oh.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. She said it was a mess. It was an absolute mess. Like people didn't want to work because they were scared, but yet they weren't officially shut down, so they couldn't just not go to work.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it was a mess.
But that's why I downloaded TikTok. I figured I downloaded it out of boredom. Because after we reopened, and we realized, all right, we're unincorporated. I reopened. I was the first one on that strip of road with like 30 dealerships to reopen before everybody realized what the fuck was going on. I was bored. There was nobody in the street. There's no customers, nothing. It was just boredom. Downloaded. I'm scrolling through. I'm like, you know what? I got a shit ton of work. Fuck it. I'm going to record some videos. They get views. Cool. They don't. I don't give a fuck. Whatever.
Right.
I was doing 2-3 videos a day for like a year straight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I wasn't even paying attention to the followers until I got, until I hit 10,000 and I got the notification. You can now join the TikTok Creator Fund. Then I was like, oh, hold on now. I can make money on this.
So did you buy into the Creator Fund?
I did. It's really not as much as you think. Like
I've talked to people who've got into it, and they're just like, you know what?
It's not. I mean, you would have to get literally every single one of your videos would have to get like 5 million views in order to make a living full time on TikTok.
Well, that's why a lot of them like diversify. You know, TikTok, right. Twitch, YouTube.
Exactly.
Merch, you know, they kind of spread themselves everywhere.
Right. Well, for me, it's sponsors. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And even then, the amount of sponsors that come in and the way they want to do it, it's very limiting. Like they want exclusivity, so they don't want you. Do I have an NDA with them? No, I don't. So the coldest water.
Okay, yeah, they're like everyone's first.
Right. And the way they do it is, all right, you sign with us, we want this many videos, this is how much we're going to pay you, but while your contract is active with us, we don't want you promoting other people's shit.
Oh, okay. So
they want exclusivity for that time period. As soon as the contract's over, you're good. You can go off, do whatever you want, but a lot of companies do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of limited.
I've seen it in your link tree. I've seen in your link tree or whatever, your the link in your bio, like stuff, you know, you had on your.
Oh, yeah. On
your thing.
Sponsors and stuff like that.
Yeah. So tell me about those GPS trackers that you had so much trouble with.
Those things, man. Oh, my God, dude. They were. Man, they lost me so much fucking money. They lost me so much fucking money. A lot of people that do buy here, pay here, they have no intention on fucking paying. None. We know this. So to minimize the risk, we use GPSs. We rely heavily on those GPSs to find the cars.
Right.
And it's you know, when I got a customer that I put a GPS in their car, I know they're not going to pay. I'm relying on that GPS to tell me where the car is so I can go get it. So when I go in there after they don't pay and the GPS is off, but it was not disconnected from the car, something's wrong here. Something's wrong there. We found that car. It's one specific car I'm talking about that we found, and we thought the customer just yanked the GPS out.
Yeah.
So we found it. I went straight for the spot where I put the GPS. And it was there.
Oh, to try to figure out if they tampered or something.
Yeah. And it was there. It was hooked up. After that, I was, all right, fuck this. I've already got about 40 cars out on finance, all with these shit GPSs in them. I'm about to lose some money. There, out of those 40 cars, I think 25 people paid off. 15 people did not. 10 of those cars are gone. We recovered 5.
Oh, so out of 15
cars, we were able to recover 4 or 5 of them. The rest of them, they're still out for repo. We can't find them.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And these are people that out of the 10 people, 9 of them are on their first payment. So they haven't paid shit but the down payment yet.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. It's whatever. After that, it was just, all right, fuck this. We're not going to rely on the GPSs. We're going to rely on paperwork.
Gotcha.
All right. We started doing that. That worked out a lot better.
So you haven't found any GPS trackers that actually work yet that you're willing to try?
Out of the 40, there was one that still worked.
Well, I mean, like different brands.
Oh, different brands. It's by the time we got to that point where we were like, all right, we're going to get different brands, blah, blah, blah. COVID had started. I stopped doing buy here, pay here, because there were people in my system that were religiously paying. And you got people that owed like $600, $700, $300 that all of a sudden lost their jobs, didn't have an income, and they couldn't make their payment. So we have two choices. Either we repossess because he owes $300 and can't make his payment, or we write it off. That's what gotcha. I did. We wrote off a lot of money at the beginning of COVID, and I stopped doing buy here, pay here, like indefinitely. Like we keep saying, right. All right, we're going to go back to it. It's not going to happen.
Those you're GPSs just like, suck. Never mind.
Yeah. Those GPSs suck, man. There is, I think, one good company that I talked to that if we ever did go back to buy your pay here, I would go with them. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
I think it's going to happen. I thought it was hilarious, though, when the fucking salesman from that first company came in trying to sell me his devices. That man got so fucking happy when he realized, he's already a customer. I'm about to make my commission right here. He can buy more devices.
And you're like, nah. In fact, take all this shit with you.
Yeah, take this shit with you. He never reached back out either. He never reached back out. He said, yeah, man, I'm going to get it taken care of. I'm going to get you free devices to replace them, blah, blah, blah. He never reached back out. Never heard nothing.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So what got you into the car dealership, like selling cars?
Well, really the money.
Okay.
It wasn't the best money, but it was money.
Right.
I'd gone to, graduated high school. Gone and fucked around for like 2 years and came back, went to college, dropped out, went to college again, dropped out, went to college again, dropped out. I just didn't want to fucking study at all. I was done. All my buddies are out working and making money, blah, blah, blah. I'm the only bum. I was a bum. I was broke. I managed to get my hands on this old ass fucking piece of crap 2002 Civic. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, you hear okay. Me? I managed to get my hands on this piece of crap 02 Civic, and it was it had some issues. I knew shit about cars, so I went in there, YouTube, Google, ended up fixing it. Drove it for about a month, and when I sold it, I realized I made a profit. Like, I could do this. This is, like, this ain't hard. It was cake from there. It was just, you know, find cars, fix them up, sell them, find cars, fix them up, sell them. Every penny I was making, I was putting right back into it.
Okay.
So you buy one, fix it up, sell.
Uh-oh. We're having some technical difficulties here.
Am I back?
There we go.
Sorry.
There you are.
Internet sucks. No, but yeah, you buy one, fix it up, sell it, make a profit. You take all the money, buy two, fix one up, make a profit, fix the other one up, make a profit, buy four. It just kept going like that till I had about 10 or 15 cars. I just kept it at 10 or 15. Then I started making money. So we grew pretty quickly. I didn't even have a business at that point. I was just doing it on the side. I talked to a buddy of mine who had a dealership. And he said, hey, I'll let you buy and sell under me. You know, you can use my license, go to auctions and stuff. As soon as he did that, that opened a million fucking doors.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. It opened a million doors. All of a sudden, I'm going Jacksonville. I'm going Orlando. I'm going to Charleston. I'm going to Atlanta. I'm getting cars from everywhere.
Well, and you were getting them so much cheaper at that point.
Getting way cheaper and way better quality. I'm very, very picky when it comes to getting cars at auction.
I've seen that in your videos, because you'll in your video, you're like, okay, I'm going to make a list of everything that I like. And I know you don't like it whenever they're like, oh, no test drives. What is that about?
So some cars at auction are, you talking about no test drives at auction?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, some cars at the auction, like if I took my Skyline, for example, to the auction, I would not want a single human being driving it. I know that might affect how many people bid on it, but I don't want, we joyride the fuck out of those cars. I would rather blow it up at the auction than baby it at the auction, buy it, and then it blows up with a customer of mine.
Gotcha.
So we will fuck those cars up at the auctions. And some people don't want that. They don't want people just getting in their fucking cars, hauling ass in them, putting a lot of stress on, because they know they're going to blow up, or because they're like super fucking expensive. So they put the keys in the office, no test drives.
Okay.
And if I can't test drive it, I won't buy it.
Okay. So yeah, I seen that. You'll make a list of all the cars that you are interested in, and you'll end up with like three.
Yeah. Yeah. That shit, it wasn't always like that, man. It was, you know, before the prices went up and people started fighting over the cars, we'd go to an auction. There's between 900 and 1300 cars. So I would make a list of about 10 to 15 cars. I'd get 10 of them. Now I make a list of 10 to 15 cars. I bid on 10 to 15 cars. I get two or three.
Yeah. So how do you haul them back? Like, I was wondering, like, do you bring a trailer or?
No, I have a car trailer in my backyard, but we never use it. I have transporters. They pick them up. Before I had transporters, all of us used to pile into a fucking car, drive to whatever auction I bought them from, and attempt to drive them back.
Attempt.
Because these cars, you know, when you check them, you test drive them at the auction. Auctions are small, man. It's like, it's not enough space to get up to 60, 70 miles an hour, let it shift
right
gears, or, you know, stuff like that. Plus, we don't run the cars long enough to see if they overheat. Shit like that.
Okay.
So when we start driving them back, we start having issues sometimes.
So transporting it is a lot easier on the car. And
right. you know, it's plus I'm not sitting here putting miles on a car that I'm trying to sell. I'm not sitting here putting stress on a car that I'm trying to sell. Then again, driving them back was a little better because I could confidently say, like, all right, yo, we drove this car back from Jacksonville. It didn't overheat. It didn't have transmission issues, stuff like that. But when you're trying to transport 10 to 15 cars, transport is way easier. Way easier. Plus, it costs.
I'm sure.
Costs way less.
Oh, yeah. Then the gas for all the vehicles.
Well, gas for all the vehicles. You got to pay the drivers. If one of them gets hungry or thirsty or if they smoke, whatever, everything's paid for. Like, if you're going with me to bring cars back, everything is paid for. Because you're doing me a favor. These weren't even employees. They were just, like, friends of mine, family, whatever. We would all just pile up and go. If you're doing me a favor, I'm going to take care of you on the way there and on the way back.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
So what's something crazy you've seen at the auctions? Like, have you ever seen people, like, just physically get into it?
Like, fighting?
Yeah.
Hell yes. You'll end up with two people. I've seen this two or three times, but you'll end up, so car will come through, bidding will start real cheap, like unnaturally cheap. And so you'll have a bunch of people throw their hands up trying to get in. It'll end up with two people just back and forth the bids. And eventually one will look at the other and be like, dude, like, come on, it ain't even fucking cheap anymore.
Right.
And they'll go
now
at it.
Now you've just driven the price up.
Yeah, right. And they'll go at it. They'll go at it. Me and a buddy of mine at the auctions, we have this thing we do because we buy the same kind of cars. And we both kind of have like a mutual respect for each other. So if he's bidding on a car, I'm not gonna fucking raise a price on him. But if we both want the same car, if I'm on one side of the lane, he's on the other. He knows to look at me if I'm, you know, I know to look at him if we're looking at the same car. And we'll just. Whoever wins, gets the bid.
Just rock, paper, scissors across a room full of people.
Because we're buying the same cars. We're trying to get them at the same exact price. You know, I'm not going to raise the price on him and fuck up his chance of making money. He's not going to raise the price on me. You know, so we rock, paper, right. Scissors it, and best two out of three gets it.
That's hilarious. That's a good, hey, that's good conflict resolution.
Right, that's the best way to do it. Oh, man. Our craziest story, though, was this one was every business has its setbacks in the beginning.
Right? Yeah.
I wanted to, like, greatly increase the quality of car that I was buying, because I was buying these, you know, $1,500, $2,000 cars, need work. We would do the work, make them reliable and sell them. But I wanted to buy cars that were just ready to sell. And with that mindset, I fucked up. I bought a 2008 Cadillac Escalade at the top of its fucking price.
Like, almost brand new.
Yeah, well, it was clean inside, outside. Yeah. So I was like, fuck, dude. All right, this thing's got to be solid. We test drove it. It drove fine. And on the way out of the auction, we make it about 100 miles down 95 or down 16. And the bitch goes up in flames.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. And to make matters worse, we didn't know it was on fire. We just saw that it had started overheating. So we parked on the side, we get out, we pop the hood, we see flames. Obviously, we're trying to, like, put the flames out, we're trying to fan them, something blowing on, whatever. It's not happening. In the process, the car just goes up. We got pistols in the car. We have bags of fucking cash in the car. All of it was burnt. All of it was gone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's apparently, such,
if a fire department shows up, and they find out there's live ammunition within the fire, like inside whatever's on fire, they're very cautious and very slow.
Yeah,
I mean, understandably, you know, they don't want to get shot accidentally, but we were freaking the fuck out about money and pistols. Yeah, that one screwed me. That one screwed me. I was out almost $8,000, $9,000, and that was in the beginning. So I didn't have the money to be out $8,000, $9,000. So that screwed me. That sucked.
I'll tell you what. I walk a half mile to work right now, yeah, because I can't afford a vehicle, and with the way the prices are going, I don't even want to try to get a vehicle. The way the gas prices are going, I couldn't afford to drive a vehicle if I had one.
It's insane. I mean, for you, I would say if you ended up needing a vehicle, go to a buy here, pay here. I mean, it's you know, go to a buy here, pay here, put a tiny down payment, drive away with something. Like it's, but the second you get enough to pay that car off,
give me just a second. I hate living next to the train tracks.
I can't imagine.
Makes for terrible recording.
Like 3 or 4 in the morning, dude.
Oh, there's one at 4. There's one at 4 in the morning. It used to be my alarm because I, my old job, I had to be up at 4.
Yeah.
So I would wake up, I'd be like half awake, and all of a sudden I'd hear the train. I'm like, all right, yep, time to get up.
You're using it to your advantage, hell yeah.
But now I don't go to work till, you know, 2:30 in the evening. Yeah. But I've lived here for over a year now. I don't even hear it at 4 in the morning anymore.
You're just used to it now.
I'm just used to it.
That's fucking awesome. Bro, I'm so fucking tired right now. It's man.
Yeah, you're not even in the States right now for those of you listening.
I'm over in Amman, Jordan, and it is a 7-hour time difference from Georgia.
Yeah, so that's why I was like,
schedule is fucked right now.
I was like, what time zone are you even in so we can schedule this? So then I'm like looking up a converter. And I'm like, all right, 7 p.m. for him isn't terrible, so I can be up at 11.
It's 11 a.m. over there?
Yeah, it's almost noon now.
Got you. It is almost 8 o'clock here.
Yeah, that's why I was like, that's not a terrible time difference. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's. I was supposed to get first call.
How long are you over there for?
I am here until the 10th of June.
Oh, okay. Just vacationing or you...
Yeah. I haven't been back here in probably 4 years almost. And I have to.
I'm sure it's been hard with COVID, so.
Well, with COVID, they shut down the country, so we couldn't come here anyways. And then with work and shit, in the past 4 years I had 2 kids, got married, just life.
Oh, wow.
all in the span of like 4 or 5 years.
Wow, congratulations. Yeah.
appreciate it.
Well,
yeah,
I think we're gonna call it good for today. Thank you so much.
No problem.
For being on here. I started this podcast because I was under quarantine, so I wanted to do something. Then it turned into I was out of quarantine, and I still wanted to record something, and I called my buddy. I was like, hey, come over. We'll smoke a blunt, and we'll just tell stupid stories. And then I was like, well, you know, I'm scrolling through TikTok and I'm like, I wonder why that person like decided to do that content, or why are they on TikTok to begin with? And I just started reaching out to people, you know, and it's been awesome. This will be episode 32.
But shit, listen, let me know, man. I'd be down to come back on again.
Awesome. Glad to hear it.
Oh, also, let me tell you this about TikTok. The people making the content don't decide what the content is, if that makes sense.
Sort of, like, I know, you I know upload. It's like...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I know that there's people I've talked to that are like, you know, I uploaded, like, this type of video, and it blew up, so then I kept making that.
There you go. That's the TikTok algorithm. It's yeah. TikTok decides what your niche is, and if you figure that out, go with it. I got lucky. Mine ended up being cars, and I'm already in the car business, so I got really lucky. I just record my daily life, and it blows up. It works.
I started doing radio DJ challenges, and I've just been looking up those and doing a bunch of those.
Hell yeah.
Because, like, that's my goal, is to one day be on the radio. I said, I don't care if I'm 60 years old and I get to be on just one, you know, just one time be on the radio. I don't care. Life well lived, you know.
Hell yeah.
I also said that I don't care if any random radio station in any random state, like I said, I don't care if Oregon calls me and goes, hey, we'd like to hire you. My only question would be, when does the flight leave?
Hell yeah.
I will sell everything in this apartment and go. Like, I don't care.
It's a dream, man. A dream is a dream. You got to follow it no matter what.
So thank you so much for being on here.
No problem. Thanks for having me, man. It's been a pleasure, for real.
Second here.